Earlier this month on the WBGO Journal, our film critic Harlan Jacobson reviewed Judas and the Black Messiah. The film tells the story of Fred Hampton, the Chicago Black Panther leader who was shot to death by law enforcement authorities in 1969. The film is generating Oscar buzz in all the major categories, including Best Picture. The 40-year-old Brooklyn-based director, Chaka King, tapped his uncle, a Harlem jazz musician, to compose the film's score. We get more now from WBGO's John Kalish.
As a kid, director Chaka King learned about the history of the Black Panther Party from books and films, but his uncle Craig Harris lived through that time. Harris, who is now 67, was in high school when Fred Hampton was killed during a raid on his home by Chicago police and the FBI in 1969.
I had my fatigue jacket and my beret, like everybody else. I was part of this movement.
Harris's younger brother was in the Panthers, and Harris went to a college on Long Island where the Young Lords, a militant Puerto Rican group inspired by the Panthers, was formed. After college, Harris began his career as a jazz trombonist and performed with Sun Ra just before his nephew Chaka was born.
He's known me all of his life, and he's known the artist I am, and he got this opportunity to do this film. He said, "You're going to do the music for this film."
Because Harris had never scored a feature film before, he decided to bring in the L.A.-based composer Mark Isham, who has scored more than 100 films. They planned to improvise the score, an approach taken in 1958 for the Louis Malle film Elevator to the Gallows. Miles Davis and a group of musicians improvised its score while watching scenes from the movie. Harris and Isham were set to record the score for Judas and the Black Messiah last March, but the pandemic delayed the sessions until late September. During the delay, the post-production team temporarily used a theme by the late saxophonist Rahsaan Roland Kirk that allowed them to continue editing the film.
This was a piece that Chaka has supposedly played the studio before the script was even finished, when he's pitching the idea. That's how long this piece had sat with him.
Mark Isham.
There was going to be no dissuading him that this was going to play a major role in the music. And once I saw Chaka's commitment to it, we set out to just say, well, how can we use this? How do you expand this? How do you give a different emotional tones to it?
We did different interpolations of it. We iced it, miced it, diced it, and it's the lead piece in the film.
It really is chilling when I hear it. I just get goosebumps.
Jim Anderson is the Grammy Award-winning engineer tapped to record and mix the Judas and the Black Messiah score.
When the Warner Brothers logo comes up, the first sound you hear is the score, and it's this kind of dark, brooding orchestra setting up the tone for the rest of the movie, saying this is going to be a very serious story coming up.
The score was recorded in a cavernous Manhattan ballroom with a number of pandemic precautions. 60 string players were socially distanced on the ballroom floor, necessitating the use of many more microphones. Woodwind players were surrounded by triangular fiberglass baffles on the ballroom stage. They watched on video monitors as Craig Harris conducted 50 yards away.
The music was all in plastic sheets. You couldn't touch it. You had to put it on the stands. And everybody, once their music was on the stands, then they could touch it.
Director Chaka King commissioned the Detroit hip-hop artist Quelle Chris and record producer Chris Keys to create additional tracks for the score. Once again, Mark Isham.
It was probably a score that I've done that has the most disparate elements. And that's why I was so pleasantly surprised, because I felt that it made sense. You know, it felt like a cohesive statement.
Some improvisation did make it into Judas and the Black Messiah, but because less than 60% of the film's music is original, the score won't qualify for an Oscar. By the way, Craig Harris has continued to perform twice weekly jazz concerts at the Calvary Baptist Church in Harlem during the pandemic.
I still have to be creative in the eye of the pandemic. How do you survive within the pandemic? You just can't stop. So you have to innovate. We have to reinvent. We have to find different ways to do this. It's just important to have music in the community. It helps me and I help it. So having music in the community is part of my life.
The concert series has been going for 10 years. The space can hold 300, but audiences are limited to 30 people sitting in every other row. For the WBGO Journal, I'm John Kalish.
WBGO commentator Mildred Antenor says recent events